needless to say, was the longest strand of discussion. But it's just interesting how that's come back. So what we're going to do is we're going to read through the passage. We're going to read the first paragraph where we focus. We're going to focus this morning. And then we're going to stop for a minute or two. Sorry about the fact it's slightly shorter, slightly smaller than I would ideally like, but hopefully you'll be able to read this. So here we go together from Devote. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Okay, we'll come back to that. Now, before we go on to the next bit, this is one of those where we could have asked to read round, but it's got so many names in that we won't do that. It's a great thing if, in fact, you mispronounce words that you've read. It's a really great thing. In fact, it's one of the indicators with children. If they mispronounce words, it shows that they've been learning to read on their own. You know, I always thought there were two different ranks in the British Army. One was the colonel and one was the colonel. because I'd read about the colonel who was on a set of Happy Families cards I'd had when I was little. And so if you do that, that's not a bad thing. My father, who had lots of problems with pronouncing words because he was in hospital by the time he was 9 and never went back to school again, said, if you don't know the name, call him Fred. But there are too many Freds here. So I'm told that the way you pronounce these words that we're going to come across is Tychicus, okay? Generally speaking, if you get CH, like in Christ, it's ch rather than ch. Then there's Onesimus, there's Aristarchus, there's Epaphras. I've always called him Epaphras, but of course it's a short E. Epaphras, there's Laodicea, there's Hierapolis, and there's Nympha, which is fairly obvious, isn't it? But let's have a go. So we'll do this. So we'll start with Tychicus. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Okay, next. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Next. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Okay, last. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus See to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Okay, it would take whole days to go through all of that. I would love to talk about that, particularly all about the apostolic teams and what it implies and so on. But if you just go back one slide, please. Right, let's have a look at this for a moment. Epaphras, who is one of you, okay, so he was from Colossae. That's where he started out from. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Hold on to that. Right, I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Now, this doesn't matter much. It wouldn't interest some of you. But I think this sort of pushes towards reality. So if Colossae was Khan, the actual distance from Colossae to Laodicea, anybody guess what that would be? It was the distance from Khan to Chippenham. Okay, they were that close. And Hierapolis was across a river, but it was probably about where Christian Morford is. Okay, so where you guys were. And you've got to think that those distances took some travelling in those days. I don't know whether any of you have read about the train line that used to go to Calne from Chippenham and had a Bowood stop on the way at Black Dog. But the adverts used to say to Calne and back from Chippenham in one day. Okay, that's what you could do. And there was a guy on one occasion who was going to preach at Calne Free Church, who actually died on the station on the way to his meeting. Local history is always utterly fascinating because you can envisage it. But that's how close these guys were. If you'd have thought in terms of when there was a secondary authority of North Wiltshire, Chippenham was the centre. It was the key town. And so Laodicea was the key town. In fact, I know this is not a nice thing to say about Khan, but it says that Colossae, this is in the NIV Study Bible, I think, actually says that by this time Colossae was already a second-rate market town. So I don't know whether you would want to apply that to Khan or to Chippenham or to Devizes, but They were small towns. They were only small places. Okay, so doesn't matter very much, but that's in mind. But it does matter that Epaphras was wrestling in prayer. So here's my question. What's wrestling in prayer? When do we do it? What's it like? Chat a bit from one another, and then we will feed back. Okay, what's wrestling in prayer? Have you got any experience of it? What do you do? When do you do it? Okay, guys, all together, one at a time. Let's hear what's wrestling. Examples of wrestling, experiences of wrestling, where would you expect it to happen? Somebody kick off, please, for us.
It's like fighting for them.
Yeah, so how does that work?
Keep at it.
When do you feel you're fighting? Without mentioning names, give us an example of where you've found yourself fighting in prayer. Sorry? When the person you're praying for is up against something really difficult. Anything else?
When your grandchildren are ill.
When your grandchildren are ill.
Actually, when your children are ill.
When your children are ill. Yeah.
For family.
It's interesting, isn't it, that comes to mind immediately. We're more likely to wrestle in prayer when we're close to the issues, when they touch us. Yeah, what else?
Or community, we did that once. Was at Bible College. We prayed all night
Yeah. Area. Yeah, yeah. Ukraine was one where I thought, yeah, do we wrestle in prayer or do we think, oh, it's too tough? Yeah? God, what do you want to do? What are you going to do? Lord, why don't you do this? Margaret, come back again.
Sometimes you pray
until
you get the answer.
Yeah? You were going to say something.
That's what we were saying.
Yeah. Anything else? Do you know, I remember this praying through until you get the answer. We had a regular prayer meeting in our church where I was brought up. And what would happen, there'd be a hymn, a prayer, and then everybody would get up, kneel down, and you would kneel by your chair. And then you would pray for an hour and a quarter. Sometimes people would fall asleep. And when we changed to those orange bucket chairs, I can remember as a teenager on occasion having dribbled into the seat of the chair where I'd fallen asleep while praying. But I remember on one occasion when God was moving in power in our CU when I was in the sixth form, there was one girl I was particularly praying, Sandra Staples, that she would come to know Jesus. And I found myself praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues, and suddenly I stopped. It was done. On the Thursday night, we had a special youth speaker. She came along to the meeting, and when there was the opportunity for people to go forward to receive Christ, she went forward. Now, the reason I was praying in tongues was because I didn't know whether she was a believer or not. So I didn't quite know how to pray. But that was one of the things that stick in my mind, sadly very rare, where I've had that sensation of praying through. So wrestling, we'll come back to that in a minute because I think there's a bit of a key there. Whatever it is, it's very different from raising things in prayer, mentioning a set of names, then saying amen, going off about our daily work and forgetting about it. So let's go back to the first para we put up, please, can you? And here we have there. So we've got, this is what we've got here. I'm going to look at this as how to pray, and then praying for Paul, and then something else at the end, and I'll keep that just for a moment. So here's the first thing. Devote yourselves to prayer. Persevere in prayer. Take it very seriously. You know, there's a lot more about prayer in the New Testament than worship. Since the charismatic worship multi-billion pound business started in the 70s, there's been a lot more about singing than there has been about prayer. But prayer is the tough stuff. It's the thing that changes us and through us changes the world as well. Devote yourselves to prayer. The inference for that is not easy. Okay? Not easy to keep praying. Told you, didn't I, recently that I was reading a book, and a guy said, I always find that praying in tongues, I begin to break through after I've prayed in tongues for solidly for 20 minutes. 20 minutes is a long time to pray in tongues for and to keep focused on wrestling and interceding. Don't know whether that works. I suspect I'm never going to find out until I've gone for half an hour. Because I tend to look at my watch after 20 minutes and think, I've done it, now what's happened? I am so stupid, you wouldn't believe it. Okay, so that's devote. Any thoughts about what it means to be devoted? Anything that's sort of in your mind that you think there, that you'd want to add to that?
I think of prayer is the work, and worship is the pleasure. Prayer is where it's really happening. You're working.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you can't pray without worshipping. If you do, we'll come on to that because it talks about being watchful and thankful. Okay? And in fact, David and the rest of the team are going to kick off a series next week where we're going to look at all the different ways of worshipping. Okay? Because some people worship and connect with God in a variety of ways. You know, that's down to personality, down to the way God has gifted people as well. Anything else about devoting yourself?
So I see it as just make it your business. It's the thing that you're doing.
So yeah.
Your focus. Whether it's fasting in the morning or whatever, it is your focus.
Yeah, that's right. You're focused on it. Some people are devoted to their garden, or they're devoted to their dog, or they're devoted to their job, or they're devoted to their kids. You know, it almost overtakes you if you're devoted to it. I think that's the sort of sense. So it's got words like persevere in there. I did write them all down, but you can wear yourself out looking at the semantic domain, the range of meanings of the thing there if you do that. So that one's interesting. Now, what about this other word, being watchful? How do you do watchful prayer?
You get updates on the situation you're praying for.
You get updates, yeah?
Listening,
yeah.
How your feelers are, so it's connect the spiritual and the physical.
Okay, talk about that a bit more for us, can you?
Yes, so what you're hearing or sensing in the spiritual, how is it manifesting in the physical? Is there a connection between something that's happened and what you probably had insight in?
Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask a clarifying question to Sarah, and then I'd like one or two people to say how it is for them, if it's a bit different. So you've got your feelers out, your sensing. How does that happen for you? Do you get bright lights, or do you get poked in the back, or do you see an angel? How do you know that you're sensing, that you're being prompted? It's not meant to be an easy question.
What comes to mind as well, so today, can I just share? Maybe I can just share in a minute. You know, it just happened here that I felt inside, and this is how I feel it, inside my heart, it is a knowing. It is just an understanding that just comes over me inside the heart, and I distinguish that from the knowing from external. If it's external, I know it's maybe something I've thought about.
Yeah.
If it's from in the heart, it just a complete knowing that I didn't generate or didn't anticipate.
Okay.
And it's very clear as well.
You're a true Pentecostal, because deep in Pentecostal thinking, there is this phrase, I know because I know because I know because I know. I know with my knower. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in book on charismatic philosophy that I read, that's one of the things that is central to the fact that there's this intuition within us. But obviously, as Sarah explained that to us, we all thought, yeah, that's as clear as mud, you know, because that's the way it is. But how's it happen for you, Theo? I'll have a think about it. Anybody else? How do you know that, how do you get your prompt? Yeah.
About somebody a lot in the day.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, yeah.
Okay. So thinking has got to be key about it. And you can't be watchful. You know, literally, you can't be a watchman if you've got your eyes shut. Right? You've got to be open. You've got to be attentive. And I find that's true for me as well, that there are times when I just need to sit. When I was working at Bible Society, I had 40 minutes either way back home. When I was working at Milton Keynes for Nelson Word, I had a lot longer than that in the car. And I used to break that time up between listening to music, listening to scripture, thinking about things. It was the first time I had a phone in my car, calling people and doing church business, and just sometimes thinking. Just reflecting. You know, part of the role of leadership is to watch for problems as well. And so the gifts of the Spirit come in there. During the autumn, we're going to do some sessions which will focus on the gifts and the Spirit, their importance. There are things that the Bible calls words of knowledge, where you just get an intuition, right? You just get an intuition. There's something as well, which is called discerning of spirits. Now, you have to differentiate that, because some people who are just plain suspicious and paranoid think they've got the gift of discerning of spirits. And the gift of suspicion is not the same. But there is an intuition that something is of the Spirit, or that there's something wrong. Now, if this is foreign to you, guys, you need it. If you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, you need the gifts of the Spirit. I've got stories that I will never tell anybody of how the gift of the word of knowledge has affected the way I've prayed for my kids at key points when they're teenagers. Something happens, you see something, you feel something, you intuit something, and you pray. Okay? So cultivate it, however weird it feels. If it's appropriate, talk about it in general terms. Accept the fact that you're probably going to be a bit vague about how it happens. Accept the fact it's going to be different. You know, I might say, I can feel the Spirit coming on me in power, and I weep a lot, or I'm prostrate before God, or I'm terribly excited. David may say, I felt the Holy Spirit coming upon me, and I trembled a tiny bit. You know, just as powerful, just as valid. Some may say, didn't feel anything, but I knew it was the Spirit. So being watchful is part of it. It is not just doing the prayer list thing. It is not just going through morning prayer or through a set service. But praise God for all those set services, the Lectio 365, whatever it is, that really help us. I love Lectio 365. I rarely get to the end of it. Yeah? Because what happens is, I just sometimes need something to stir myself up, to start to wait on God, to pray, you know, to like a starting handle on an old car. But other people find that very beneficial. I know those of you who do morning prayer find that to be really excellent and helpful for them. But this thing about being thankful, you know, I said during the week that I think, Sarah, you posted 4:2, didn't you? Colossians 4:2, one day. And what had happened is that the day before, I'd gone out for a walk. And I was aiming to think about watchful and thankful. That was the way I was going to work. I was going to work through that. One of the reasons I prefer to walk on my own, I prefer to walk without targets, I prefer to walk where nobody else is, in case I start explaining things to myself, because it's always just a little bit odd. But as I was going, I thought about watchful, and I was overcome with thankfulness, right? As I was doing, it was hardly surprising in my situation at the moment, just being thankful that I'm here, yeah, is pretty big with me at the moment, yeah? You know, 10 days ago, as you know, they had to redo my wiring. And the registrar who was working on me, we were talking about Frank, while he was signing me up, we were talking about Frankfield and insurance-based systems as opposed to National Health System and that kind of thing. I hope I was talking sense, because I've got a lot of fentanyl in me as well at the time. But anyway, we were chatting, and just before he'd started, we talked and talked about what happened to me. Oh, he said, yes, he said, I heard about you. And I had been the talk of the cardiac staff room, because it had been a junior doctor's strike day, and so there were more senior doctors you could shake a stick at, including some cardiac doctors, thank God, who happened to be in boots when I collapsed. This guy was very amused. He said, you ought to go back to Boots again. He said, they won't want you there. It's bad for their reputation if people are waiting so long for their prescriptions that they collapse. But, you know, and that just struck me. And all the way round my walk, I was just stuck with one thing. And yet, you know, when Carol, I really hate it when Carol says, I don't really hate it, but I'm really provoked by it. When at the beginning of the meeting, Carol says to us, right, what are you thankful for? And I can't think of one thing. I've woken up in full Eeyore mode of a morning, and the weather's horrible, and this isn't working, and that isn't working, and yet, if we don't start from what we're thankful for, we don't move on to what we're believing God for. Our thanksgiving is the basis for what comes next. Okay, so that's about how to pray. Very quick in there, isn't it? Being watchful and thankful. How are you doing with your prayer? Are you devoting yourself? Are you being watchful in it? And are you being thankful? How often, guys, how often, Theo, does God prompt you about your boys? You know, when you pray. So something extra comes in. Yeah? Daily, yeah. Yeah? That's great. There'll be a moment when those things happen. Yeah. Okay. That's right. Now, you notice we were talking about facts and acts last time I was speaking. This is all acts here, all things we do. Right, next. Paul says, pray for us. What's the first thing? That God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. So the first is opening a door, and the second thing is clarity. Okay, message. So, I don't know, did you pray for the Archbishop yesterday? That as well as the opportunity, fantastic opportunity potentially, pray for clarity as well. Okay, we got that. But here's the thing I want to finish with. Look at this. How does he make the change from praying yourselves, praying for us, to the last paragraph? What is the, if you go to that bit, be wise, what's the connection with the bit that comes before? Any thoughts? Let me tell you what I'm thinking of is the connection. That Paul is actually drawing a line between his apostolic calling and our apostolic calling. Because not only are special ministries sent to proclaim and to be witnesses, but so are we all. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. He was praying for his opportunities. We're praying for ours, right? Opportunities will come. And we've often talked about the fact that we don't always make the most of them. We think, oh, we could have talked about that there. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. I was brought up to believe that my conversation should be, in terms of evangelism, should be full of salt and blow the grace. Okay? We actually, where I came from, had training in aggressive evangelism, right? You would buttonhole somebody and to really preach at them. Never worked then, certainly doesn't work now. And there are things, you know, which sometimes sound awfully smart. We ran a theatre group when we were young. And I can remember we were at a town show and got a booth. And once in every hour, we did an 8-minute play. And apart from that, we were in our early 20s. And there was a spare wall beside us that we'd put up a partition. And we thought, that's spare. And we painted it yellow and in red, stenciled onto it, this stenciled type, this being 1972, "Our God's not dead, sorry about yours." And that struck us as pretty handy evangelism. right? And I've begun to realise if there's anything about atheism, if there's anything about pushing the gospel that really makes me laugh, there's probably more salt than grace in it. Okay. Latest example is this. Atheist says to Christians, you have all these special days. We atheists don't have any. Right? To which the reply is, oh yes you do, April the 1st. There you go. See, you're like me. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Well, that may be true, but it's very unlikely that that much salt in any conversation is going to help anyone. So the grace salt mix, but quite often our conversations are full of something else and there's no salt. And if there's no salt, no profit. Okay, the, what else do we need to say? I think that's probably it for us. Oh, you know, it says about that, so you may know how to answer everyone. Good idea to prepare, but then don't worry about it if you get stuck.